This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:02 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris down in Florida taking care of business, doing his thing. Joining us right now, our guy, Todd Coppovich. What's going on, Todd?
What's going on, guys?
Not much, man. Hey, we've been seeing this question formed all over the national media. So I want to ask you this. And we know right now what the records are in the National Football League. We know. Okay, the records.
Like all-time records?
No. We know what the current team records are right now.
Of course.
Kansas City Chiefs 5-0. The Houston Texans 5-1. Baltimore Ravens sitting at 4-2. There many believe, despite the records, that right now the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the National Football League. What would you say to that?
I would say I agree because it's a week-to-week league. And, yeah, the Ravens started slow. They certainly weren't the best team weeks one and two, but look how they're playing now. I mean, their offense is rolling. If there's a critique on the Ravens, it's the pass defense and the secondary. But the Chiefs are putting up big points on offense. And Houston, I like. Houston's going to be a tough. I think Houston's a team that could be that could be a formidable in the playoffs. They could make a run this year. But I think going into week seven, I think the Ravens are the best team. But, of course, that changes week to week.
Yeah, and the thing with Houston for me is I think they definitely need to have Nico Collins because I think he's the guy that makes that offense go. With all due respect to C.J. Stroud, it just sets everything up perfectly for him. Something we were talking about, just speaking of trades, we don't know what the Ravens are going to do, but Devontae Adams to the Jets, Amari Cooper to Buffalo, even some smaller trades going on. Do you expect them to be involved in the trade market? Because we haven't really heard much about, people think their needs are cornerback, safety, something of that ilk. What are your thoughts, Todd?
I think if offensive linemen can surface, they might make a big splash, or maybe a safety. But they're not going to give up any draft picks. And I think this roster is pretty solid. I think some of the issues on pass defense are sort of scheme. Last week Washington had a 4th and 12. In the fourth quarter, the Ravens make a stop there, the game ends, and they blitz everybody, even the safeties. They left Nate Wiggins out there on an island. He got pass interference, extended the drive. Maybe they should have put a nickel or dime package in there. I'm not going to question Zach Gore's proud defensive coordinator, but I think there's some schematic issues the Ravens need to tighten up. John Harbaugh said it Monday. The chunk plays in the middle of the field. They think they can stop those types of plays if they play a different type of defense. So I don't see the Ravens making a big splash because I don't know where that player would come in or who's available. But their offense is humming. I don't think they need another playmaker on offense.
Yeah, but Todd Coppovich from BaltimoreSports.com. Todd, unique Ngakoue joined the 53-man roster. How does this impact the game day roster? Who's going to be short? Who's going to be the odd man out?
Well, I think you got Rasheen Ali. You got a couple of rookies there, that could probably sit out. The Ravens pass rush are pretty good. They're 4th in NFL. Ngakoue is a guy who didn't have a good first trip around here because they couldn't adjust to Don Martindale's defense. He expects outside linebackers to be multidimensional and stop at the run. And I think Zach Gore's putting the Ngakoue in the field just, hey, get to the quarterback, and he's thrived. And he's a Maryland guy, and he grew up a Ravens fan. It'll be minor guys. Some of the rookies will be guys that are inactive. They're not going to see any big splashes there.
Hey, interesting enough, Monday night facing Tampa Bay, watching what Tampa Bay did this weekend. as they went off against the Saints. A lot of teams have done that thus far. Familiarity with Baker Mayfield, but what do you think of this matchup? Because I guess if you saw the points they scored and how they played, you'd be kind of worried looking at this secondary and how things go, but I still think the Ravens are just going to continue to stack W's.
I think so, but they're going to have to get into a shootout in this game. Baker's playing the ball really well. You know, they're scoring a lot of points, and they're at home. You know, I don't know what the fan situation is going to be down there with the hurricane. You know, they said the stadium's in pretty good shape. You know, but Chris Godwin's a guy the Ravens are going to have trouble matching up with. Sean Tucker's another guy who can catch the ball. So, yeah, this might be a shootout game. I think the Ravens, you know, they know Baker Mayfield pretty well from his time in Cleveland, and so they know his tendencies. But he's gotten new life down there in Tampa Bay. Like, most players who leave Cleveland, you know, seem to find. But, yeah, this is a good matchup.
So, Todd, as we move forward, what are your expectations the rest of the year for Derrick Henry? Because he's on pace to have a monster season.
Yeah, you know, I thought they were going to be more conservative with his carries. But, you know, like, I wrote a story today. You know, he's the closer. You know, he's having these big runs in the fourth quarter that not only seal the game, they're demoralizing the teams. So, yeah, I know. I think, you know, Keaton Mitchell's a guy who might be back in the next 2 or 3 weeks, take some of the pressure off him. Because you want Derrick Henry fresh for the postseason. You want him rolling into the playoffs. Because that's why, you know, I said this, you know, this past week, if the Ravens had acquired Derrick Henry at last year's trade deadline, they might be the defending Super Bowl champions. So the key is to keep him healthy and keep him fresh for a postseason run. And I think, you know, Keaton Mitchell's been out of practice. I think he'll be ready to go, you know, second half of the season. So that's going to help. My expectation with Derrick Henry is he's going to keep rolling in this offense, because even though teams know what the Ravens are doing and they sack in the box, he's still running over them, because that's the type of talent he has. You know, talent always trumps scheme every time.
Now, Todd, you are a busy man, not just for BaltimoreSports.com, but what, within an hour, you just released an article on PressBoxOnline.com talking about the Orioles and how they enter the offseason with a solid foundation for next year's roster. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the pitching's okay. You know, I guess, you know, Brash might be a guy who, you know, who won't be ready at the start of the season because he had, you know, Tommy John in June. But I think they have a solid core of young players now. They had a big shakeup in the front office, this week. You know, firing a couple coaches, so they need to praise them with talent. But yeah, I think as this Oriole team, I think they're gonna have new focus next year. And you know, and they're sort of like the Ravens now. You know, they're sort of going to be judged on their postseason success. You know, that's the price of success. You know, you start to be judged different ways. And I think the Orioles have a solid core lineup, and they have, you know, they have pretty good pitching depth. You know, they get the closer back next year. So I think they'll contend. But they, you know, they got to do some soul searching this offseason after that playoff performance.
No doubt about that. Todd Kopovich, BaltimoreSports.com, also PressBoxOnline.com. Thanks a lot, Todd.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, just released hot off the press this morning. It wasn't there. I hit refresh for his Twitter, and mm-hmm. Boom, the article came up. Like,
great timing.
Yeah. I love the article, though. The little bit that I was able to read during the break. And, you know, he talks about Kyle Bradish, John Means, Grayson Rodriguez, and Tyler Wells, how they all finished on the injured list. I don't know, man. I would love to see them bring back. Listen, you're going to have to rehab meetings anyway. You got to pay for it because mm-hmm. You got to hurt on your watch. He's not going to be pitching for anybody. Why not get something out of it?
I don't disagree with that. I'm excited because this is the first offseason with new ownership. And again, I know we kind of had some, the Burns trade, and people were thinking, okay, since they were talking. But now this is their team. You know, and we got to see what they're going to do and how they're going to structure everything. And I know there's a budget for everything, but like, are we going to spend money in the offseason? Are you looking to spend money in-house and keep some of your guys?
Yeah.
What if they decide they want to be a team that makes a gigantic splash? What if we were that team? I'm not expecting it, but again, you just don't know.
Jim Duquette joins us. Continue to talk some baseball at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I just want to talk about an awful human. We mentioned this story before. It happened during the hurricane. Tell you, they found the guy that tied his dog up to a fence and just left him there during the hurricane. So I'll tell you what happened with him.
What number are you?
What do you mean?
I figure we can all line up and beat the crap out of them. What number are you?
I don't know. If you guys wear them out, I'll go last.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text.
I'm sick. I usually go last.
410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057. The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter. At BBMS 1057, The Fan, Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, to the Florida man that abandoned his dog. Look, I know in times of...
He literally needs a shovel.
Well, this is... I've seen people post different things on it. Like, what are you supposed to do when you're trying to save your own life, this and that? And, oh my, like, you know, you're put in a certain surroundings with a hurricane coming that you got to go. And where are you going to be able to take your dog? I'm sorry. Like, I know what I would do. I'd be in that damn car, staying in my car with my dogs if I had to, driving to wherever the hell we were going until this passed by, or we could get back to it. The last thing I'm doing is chaining my dog to a fence so it can't even fight for itself.
Yeah.
You know, you got no chance. And even when they got to the dog was, it was, you know, the water was up above its legs, almost approaching its body. It was a bull terrier, so it looked like Spud McKenzie. And the dog was growling at the officer when he got there. And the officer's like, I understand. I'd be pissed, too. Mm-hmm. But he's healthy. Everything's fine. They find the guy. He faces up to 5 years in prison for doing this. He tried to make a statement saying he didn't know what to do. Nobody could take the dog. He couldn't find anyone to pick the dog up. So the best idea was not only to leave the dog tied up, but leave it tied up on a highway, you know, about 3 miles from your house. Mm-hmm. So you had an idea of like, oh, we got to do something with this dog because I can't take it with me. Hey, why not leave it tied up so it can't even fend for itself? And I just, look.
I got no use for you.
Yeah.
I've got no use for you, really. I'm serious. I have no use for a guy like that.
It's just a person like that. It's just disgusting, man, because, it's one of the things, too, where this guy's trying to make excuses, trying to make it seem, like, what was I supposed to do? Whatever it was, that was not it. You know, like, I don't know. Again, people are trying to get out. You have all different types of pets. What if you had 8 or 9 animals? What are you supposed to do? You've got to make tough decisions. But if you have a singular dog, you don't tie him up on a highway. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So I'm glad they saved the dog. This guy, we'll see what he gets. Even Ron DeSantis said that apparently in Florida, animal cruelty, they don't take lightly. You're going to get the book thrown at you. DeSantis said when this poor dog was left out there, we said we're going to nail you when we find out who did it, and that's exactly what they're doing here in Hillsborough County with State Attorney Lopez. You just don't tie up a dog and have him out there in the storm. Totally unacceptable, and we're going to hold you accountable. I agree with DeSantis.
He's the owner, he's the president, he's the general manager. And Jerry Jones gets my shovel for this right here.
Listen, let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will... Let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you. You need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Yeah. Well, 105.3, The Fan, is owned by Odyssey, but it is the flagship home of the Dallas Cowboys. So while he does not own the station, you know he has some influence.
I don't care. I'd have told him to piss off.
Man. I would, you know, and you know what? That was the... That says a lot. You are a weekly guest on this radio show. As the owner, number one, you bastard, you shouldn't be on there in the first place. Let somebody else answer the question. There's a conflict of interest as the owner, the president, and the general manager, and you're on the show answering questions. That's a conflict of interest. If you don't feel comfortable enough people asking you questions, if you're Jerry Jones too big to answer the questions, let somebody else do it. The man's doing his job. And guess what? You just made him more popular.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get him fired now. Go ahead.
I mean,
there'll be people all over the country wanting him to work for.
You get this audio, too, of him threatening you on the air that he's going to get you fired because he didn't like a question you asked him when he's not your boss. There's something inherently wrong with that. Like, you're going to try to influence
him. But he's Jerry Jones.
Oh, screw him, man.
What did you say this morning? There's only one time that a person should be able to say, allowed to say, do you know who I am?
And that's,
what's that time?
Yeah, that's a time where you have someone performing and they won't let them into their own concert, their own, you know, area. Like, I was reading a story about George Michael's getting, the security guard wouldn't let him into his own concert. And he's like, do you know who I am? That's the only time you should say that, because nobody gives a rat's ass. If you're a senator or if you're a judge and you get pulled over by the cops, I don't give a rat's ass who you are. If you broke the law, you broke the law. That's what's going to happen. You know, it's the same thing here. Like, Jerry Jones trying to tell everybody, oh, yeah, I'll get somebody else. You're not my boss, man. Get the hell out of here. You're boss adjacent.
How about my boss. How about that?
Jerry Jones. Hey, how about you go back down to that district where all the prostitutes are again? I didn't ask you about that. Would you like to talk about that? Or you want to talk about how bad the team is? And here's the other thing. You go on a show, things are bad. You got to expect that you're going to get questions like this. Be a professional about it and don't go, well, why aren't you bringing up the good things? That's not how this works.
You don't define my job, man.
Yeah.
Well, your job is, how do you define my job? How do you define, your team just lost 47-9 at home.
What he said,
what in the world am I supposed to talk about?
If he said, you don't tell me what to do, and I'd be like, well, I would have told you to fire Mike McCarthy last year. I would have told you to go out and get a different coach and to probably sign Derrick Henry or another running back to come in so you don't have this hot mess right now.
But you're right. I don't tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And that's why you are where you are right now. I hate that, man. That's a bully. That is a bully.
Yeah.
To me, Jerry Jones just revealed that he is a bully.
Why didn't he ask you about you pecker checking guys in the locker room as you were telling Jamie Foxx about one of the players on the team and how big his appendage was? He didn't tell you that.
Jim Duquette joins us at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, go take a look at baseball playoffs recap and a preview of today's game on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. It's just, you got to keep moving. You know, we need two more here, but we can't get ahead of ourselves. You know, we just talked about it as one game at a time. And, you know, excited to hand Clark the ball in game three and hopefully try and get another one.
Yeah, that's Aaron Boone, manager of the New York Yankees. You talk about having a monkey on his back. Aaron Boone has one.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to win one. I mean, who's the last Yankees manager that hasn't won the World Series? Was it Buck?
That hasn't?
Hasn't. It'd have been Buck.
Well, how long has Boone been there? It's been a while, right?
He doesn't have one.
I know. But wasn't there...
Yeah, he came in after Girardi. It has to be...
And Girardi got one. He got the last one, right?
Yeah, you know...
That's right, yeah. I almost said Tony La Russa. Joe Torre.
Yeah, so Buck was the last manager not to win a World Series with the New York Yankees.
I don't like that. Yeah, so let's hope Aaron Boone still keeps that streak going.
Yeah, because I don't like him.
I don't either.
I don't like his face, man. I don't like him.
I like the only thing
it
I
has
like,
nothing to do with being a Yankee. I love Derek Jeter. I love Mariano Rivera. I don't like Aaron Boone.
I liked the only thing I liked about Aaron Boone is when he came out and told the umps that his players were savages in the box. They're savages in that effing box. And he was right because they take a ton of pitches. That's a tough team to face year after year. But they also spend almost more money than everyone in baseball. You should be there. If you're spending that much, there's no reason you shouldn't walk into a World Series when there's no salary cap.
Okay, let me ask you this. On outside of that, you're right. But what if you were a Yankee fan? Would you feel that way? Would you feel bad that your team spent?
No, not at all. I mean, that's the whole thing.
You'd probably like, say, hey, you guys
spend
more money.
You guys can spend it too.
But they can't. Others can't.
But we realize that because living in or working in this industry, you start to realize the market size and what's important. What do they want? Why are games at certain times? Because they care about the television markets. And now everybody has television deals. Some teams are going to make way more money than other teams. Oh, by the way, New York's way bigger. So you can get people. You should be selling out every single night. There should be people wanting to go to those games, even with two teams in the city.
You got 8 million people to choose from. Right. Now, is this going to be a sweep?
I mean, I'll give Cleveland's good. They're not great, but they're good. I just hope they don't fold up like a cheap suit here.
I don't think they belong
with the Yankees or in the playoffs.
This far.
So think about what they've lost. Though they lost Shane Bieber after what was it, one or two starts this year. They lost Tristan McKenzie. Came back, he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the other? They had like two or three other young pitchers that did not pan out, got hurt this past season. And I know like Xavier Curry was a kid that moved on. They like the kid Lively, but again, I can't start him in the postseason. It's almost like the Povich thing. Mm-hmm. Like you see some good games from him, but
what's wrong with Popovich? I like him. He's a good broadcaster.
Yeah, but I'm not starting him in the postseason.
Okay.
At pitcher.
Calvin Hall started at quarterback.
That's all right. No, Povich.
Povich. Yeah. All right, my fault.
Cade.
Now, National League tonight, that's tied at 1. Bueller on the mound versus Severino. How you feel about that one tonight?
I like the Dodgers tonight. I thought I was going to be all over the Mets. I think the Dodgers bats get after Severino. And it's weird because let me just say this. In this round of the playoffs, in the last round of the playoffs, I haven't got much right from a game-to-game standpoint. Like, I've bullpen's blowing it.
You suck a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's how it's gone for me this round. But again, like everything says to take the under here. I just can't do it. I can't get on it with what I've seen from these teams. And some of these starting pitchers have melted down. And the Mets have a decent bullpen. I don't think it's great. The back end is better than the rest of the parts. And the same thing with the Dodgers. If Bueller doesn't have it, you're going right back to that bullpen and trying to throw everything out there that you can.
Back end is better than the rest of the parts. Okay.
You get what I'm saying? The closer, the setup guy, you like those two. The rest of it,
I got you. Now, the Dodgers are not going to win this series. You do realize that, right?
I mean, I've been saying all along, I think the Mets are winning the World Series, but we still have tickets to give away.
If the Mets win tonight, they win the series.
I think the Dodgers win tonight.
Well, they still can win. The Mets can still win the series. However, I just believe if they win tonight, series over.
Yeah, but the Mets kind of have this, what makes them special is they have this mentality that the game's never over. I mean, going back to that Braves series where the doubleheader in that first game, it's like, man, you were going to get Chris Sale in the next game, and what's going to happen? All this stuff's going on, and they're losing to Spencer Schwalenbach. And he's just pitched a gem, and then they take him out, and the bullpen comes in. Two guys that haven't given up squat all year long just get annihilated. I've seen a lot of closers get destroyed in the postseason this year.
Yeah.
That's what, when you go look at Mariano Rivera's numbers, that's what makes him so special. I think he gave up 11 earned runs his entire postseason career.
What tickets was Jeremy talking about? The tickets to Smoketoberfest, a cigar and whiskey tasting happening on Thursday, October the 17th. That's in 2 days. No, that's tomorrow. At the Humidor Cigar Shop right up there in Cockeysville, hosted by me, in partnership with the Humidor and Capital Grill to benefit Pathfinders for Autism. We will be giving away tickets later on this hour. Don't you go anywhere. 410-583-1057. Now, why do we bring this up now? Because we're giving away 6 tickets because we don't know who's sponsoring this. We do know you have the tickets, so you will be there tomorrow. However, these tickets will be sponsored either by me if the Dodgers make it to the World Series, or Jeremy if they don't make it to the World Series. It is a $500 bet that Jeremy and I decided to use that for good. I think that was a great idea. Now we're going to swing that, and we bought 6 tickets to this event, and that's where the money's going.
To pass I like that. You know, making a friendly wager, but it's going to a good cause either way. Yeah. And then people get to have a good time. Because I know it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a great time, man. Capital Grill's there. Yeah. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I can't wait. So we'll give away some tickets later on in this hour. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Who is the best team remaining in the postseason right now?
I mean, I'm probably still going to lean Dodgers, even though the answer is probably the Yankees. I just don't trust the Dodgers pitching. Jack Flaherty looked good in his last start. Got to see him do it again. Yamamoto, he's kind of an enigma because when he's on, he's untouchable. But again, coming back from injury, getting stretched out, how he looks at the end of the season, because the Dodgers really have 2 starters. That's it right now that they trust. 2. I mean, they're throwing Walker Buehler out there because of that name, but go look at his numbers the past 6 starts. He has not been good at all. And that does not mean he can't come out and make his way through 5 innings with limited damage. Of course he can. He's done that a couple of times, but he just does not look good. Too much hard contact, and that's a scary thing against the Mets. Yeah. And on the flip side with Severino, it ain't much better. I mean, he's had some good starts this year. It has a chance of locking down. I just don't see that against this Dodgers team and those lefties.
Dodgers team is the best team in the playoffs. The Dodgers team is the best team in baseball. So why don't they win more?
That's a good question. I know the answer. Dave Roberts. Actually, it's not solely his fault, but he deserves a lion's share of the blame. Those are 2 guys. I still can't believe Aaron Boone is managing and Dave Roberts is managing. You look at some teams that hire a coach and it doesn't work out in the first 2 years and they're firing them, bringing in somebody new. And these guys have been given the longest leash of anyone in this game. And their team spend more money than anyone else.
Facts. 410-583-1057 is the number. Jim Duquette joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, John Angelos was previously listed as an advisor to the team. But it appears that he's no longer in that role. Is the Angelos chapter of the team's history officially closed? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 847, I'm getting the time right eventually. 847 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. All right, let's do it now, Jeremy. We're looking for caller number, which one you want, Joe? You pick the caller. Caller number 4 Joe wants for Smoketoberfest, a cigar and whiskey tasting. That's going to be tomorrow night at the Humidor Cigar Shop, hosted by me. In partnership with the Humidor and the Capital Grill to benefit Pathfinders for Autism. The Humidor is located right up there in Cockeysville. It was a tremendous place. You're going to love it. Come on up and hang out with us. We're giving away 2 tickets right now to caller number 4. Caller number 4, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Now, Jeremy Kahn. John Angelos was previously listed as an advisor with the Baltimore Orioles after he sold the team. Right now, he is not listed anymore as an advisor. Do we now officially close the door on the Angelos family era with the Orioles?
I think it's done. I did think to a degree after Peter kind of gave up control of the team and his kids took over that I don't know that we necessarily gave them a fair shake right off the bat because the Angelos name is there. But again, I don't think anybody in this town can be happier with the new ownership that you have. And again, we still haven't seen the full extent of what they're going to do. But he seems involved. He seems like he's a fan, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It seems like he is. How would you sum up the Angelos era? Because it wasn't all bad. It didn't start off bad.
No, what I think happened was they did things a certain way in the 90s. And at some point you're like, man, I'm spending too much money and I'm not getting anything back in return. And then they changed up their ways. They stopped building the farm system the way it should. That's the one big gripe that I have my entire time covering this team was being told that some of these guys were prospects when they were 27-year-old journeymen. Yeah. Like it's not It's not the same thing. And the way you win in this league is drafting well and getting cheap talent in the international market, and making taking chances there. Not just on, like, if there's five pitchers on the international market, not just hoping that you get number five or going after him, making an effort to go after some of the other guys, and understanding too, a lot of these guys want to pitch on the West Coast or want to pitch in New York, one of those two things, and that happens quite often.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I always believe there's reasons for things to happen. I said before, I think Barry Bonds flipped during the MasterCard All Century team when he was left off and two of his peers who were hitting home runs, 50 home runs at the time, Ken Griffey and Mark McGwire, they were on.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point, Barry Bonds made a choice. Well, if I'm going to be considered one of the greats of my time, hitting 30, 40 home runs and stealing 40 bases is not good enough anymore. I've got to hit home runs. And that's when he made his choice. I believe regional cable television is when the Angelos family made their choice. Because before, remember, the Orioles were one of the highest spending teams in all of baseball in the mid-90s. What happened? Well, everybody started getting their own cable deals. And then the market started to get separated. And then the haves and the have-nots were established. And the Orioles realized then they weren't one of the haves because they couldn't keep up with that market. I think that's when they made their decision. We can't play this game anymore. If all is even, if everything is equal, man, we can spend with the best of them. But it's not an equal playing field.
It's not.
It's not a level playing field. And I think that's what the Orioles, the Angelos family, in my opinion, made a choice. We're not going to be involved in that game because we can't afford it.
Yeah, and I think too, like Minnesota fans now that hearing that their ownership is going to be selling, like depending on who gets it, I think you got to be ecstatic for a new opportunity with someone that might do things in a different way, a better way. And I'm not one. I wasn't one of those guys saying that the Orioles had to go out and spend all this money in the offseason when the Angelos were. But, like, you needed a farm system. You needed to draft better. And the problem was they weren't drafting for talent. They were drafting for signability sometimes. Like, you remember when they drafted Matt Hopgood? Yeah. And the kid was, like, nice kid. Why is that who you're drafting? Like, what did you see from him to say that he should have been the pick right there when all these publications had him way lower in the draft? Well, you wanted to make sure you signed your draft pick. And I think there's something to be said. I'm not faulting teams when, when a Daz Cameron comes through, Mike Cameron's son, and he's like, I'm going to be asking for $10 million up front.
Right.
And teams go, well, we ain't paying that. And passing on that, I understand that. But like, if it was a high school player and he didn't sign, you get the pick next year. Like, just draft the best players.
Right.
And more importantly, spend some money in developing these guys. That's, you know.
Yeah. And that's the part that to me is unacceptable. The not invested in Latin American young players and things like that, that's when you just fall asleep at the wheel. The free agency and signing your own guys and trade markets, that's one thing. That's just financial. To me, the other things is just a matter of not properly investing in your business.
Yeah.
And that's where they went wrong.
And remember, they got the slap on the wrist for when the guys like Tiyoshi Wada and Koji Uehara, who they got Koji being the best of the bunch, and of course, Wei-Yin Chen, they were over there doing their recruiting at this point. This is past all the other stuff going on, and I think this is Dan Duquette years. And they got slapped on the wrist for illegal, I hate saying recruiting, but tampering.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, now it seems like with the facility in the Dominican that they're really involved in all the things they should be involved in. It's a total 180 from the organization that we've seen before. So, yeah, I think fans should be celebrating that this is done with, that you don't have to worry about that anymore. That book on the Orioles' lifespan has been closed in the Angelos era.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy Kahn's Daily Line at 9:15. He will tell you where to put your extra money on tonight's games, the baseball games. WNBA tonight as well, right?
Yeah, we got WNBA. The Liberty Game 3.
Yeah, the Liberty.
The Liberty.
Yeah, that's going to be at 9:15. But on the other side, Jim Duquette. Maybe Jim can make sense out of this whole Gold Glove fiasco. I'm officially calling it a fiasco right now.
I don't get it.
He's up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.